chance to read through. I'll have you do the reading to save my voice. The Rambam in Perek Aleph. Who's going to be a brave reader who's well prepared? Ozzy, you're well prepared? All right. Yoni, do me a favor. Can you run that? I don't know why. Go into the basement and swap the supply Aleph. Thank you. Also, before we do that, I have Kalkalas HaShabbos Xeroxes. So there are two sheets. I don't need it now. I can wait until I get one. Okay. So please. Start on the side, pull out. There's one of each. Pull out and send them in the parallel. Okay. What's that? In terms of the name of the Sefer, it's called the Kalkalas HaShabbos. It's often, I think, referred to as the Kalkalas HaShabbos, which is actually two neschalos in the Mishnah in Adios and in Maestros. What is the Kalkalas HaShabbos? Anyone know its significance? Bernstein. What is the Kalkalas HaShabbos? Did you learn Maestros yet? The stuff you set aside for Shabbos. That's why, and the problem is that Shabbos is kovas lemasros, that when you, thank you very much. When you have something which is not nigmar malachto, I'm sorry, it's nigmar malachto, but you haven't brought it in to the bayis, so nonetheless, to be kovea, Shabbos is kovas. So if you have a basket of fruits that you put aside for Shabbos, so kelestanim, So that's what the term means. So machlokas beisham meisil. Beisham meisil was machmir that even after Shabbos, if you didn't use it, if it's just kalkel Shabbos, whether or not it's chayev or pater and from misamaisus. So anyway, there are two neschos, whether it's kalkelas hashabbos or kalkelas Shabbos, I believe. And the name of the sefer as we have it printed is kalkelas Shabbos. Okay, it sounds better the other way, but nonetheless, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's just I think that's more natural language. Okay. Right. Okay. Fine. So let's start in the Rambam, Perek Aleph. Well, one detail that's missing that is not as relevant here, but of course it refers to one of my favorite topics. I noticed, by the way, he has a thing on the Luach. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, does anyone know what I'm thinking about? He talks about Shabbos. Anyone remember what he says? Ein re'iyas hayareach misura l'chol adam kimo Shabbos breishis shekol echad mona shisha v'shoves b'shvi el lebeistin hadavar masar achi akachru beistin. Fine. So the Rambam understands that the part of the mitzvah of Shabbos is you count 6 days and you celebrate a seventh, and that's incumbent upon every individual. Which might explain two dinim. Number one is why someone who gets lost in the desert and doesn't know, theoretically you could argue each day, al pi rov, is not Shabbos, and it should be mutter. Right? But the answer is that mona shisha mekadesh shvi. Right? He counts 6 days, and then he celebrates the seventh, and he does a minimal malach on all of them for pikuach nefesh, and he makes kiddush on the seventh. Why? The answer is because there's a mitzvah on each person. That you're supposed to obviously be counting the correct days, but the mitzvah still exists, and in the absence of knowing for sure which, in other words, can you imagine that? We have our Shabbos on Tuesday. That's the way I count. I prefer my 6 days then. Obviously, you're obviously bound by the standard count, but when in the absence of such knowledge, so a person still continues to count six and be Shoves B'Shvi. Then you join the count. But the notion that you even make Kiddush on the seventh day, in other words, you could say it's Kadesh Shalot Tishtachach Torah Shabbos Amen, but I don't think that's what it is. It's not so you won't forget about Shabbos. You know, if you're in the Midbar, if you know that the emergency plan is going to rescue you within a month, you know that for sure, however you know. You don't, you lost track of Shabbos, you don't say, well, I don't need to keep the Shabbos day because I just want the Malachim this. The answer is no, you're mechuyav to celebrate Shabbos. Okay. The second thing which it has obvious halacha impact on is Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. You're counting. So part of that they talk about is being L'chvod Shabbos, that everything leads up to Shabbos. But also, you're counting the days to Shabbos. Okay, fine. Okay, Anyway, what does the Rambam begin? Hilchos Shabbos. Go ahead. Okay. What does he mean by a carbon chatas kavua? As opposed to an olav yored. A couple of the guys asked me an interesting question in Seder yesterday about what happens if a person doesn't know that this is a Rishus HaRabin. And he carries in it. He thinks it's a Rish Karmelis or Rishus HaYochid. What is the din? Is that Shogeg or is that Misasek? Not that I don't know it's Asa to carry in the Rishus HaRabin. I don't know that this is a Rishus HaRabin. What happens if I see a thing on the ground and I think it's detached from the ground and I take a knife and I cut it and it turns out it was attached and in the process of cutting it being Chotech, it turns out I was Tolish. What is that? Misasek. Why? Because I wasn't aware of the Metzias. I thought I was doing X, it turns out I was doing Y. What do you mean? I thought I was cutting something. I knew I was cutting something, but I thought the thing I was cutting was in a state X. It says it was state Y. So is it a misasik?
Why would it not be?
Well, on the other hand, so this could depend. On the other hand, in other words, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing in this case. I'm carrying. I'm unaware of the halachic status of this place. Is that a lack of knowledge of halacha? Or is it not a lack of knowledge of Metzias? So I'll tell you, now I would have said you're right, Amitai, that it's Misasek. But, the following. What is the din of Tumas Mikdash Kadashav? There are four cases according to Rabbi Shmuel Yechayev. Either you don't know it's the Beis HaMikdash, or you don't know that this is Kachim, and you're Tame, and you enter or you eat. Or you don't know your tummy, but you know it's a mikdash and you know that it's kachim. So, what's the din? So the fact is, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you're chayiv in all four cases: helim tuma, helim mikdash, helim tuma, or helim mikdash v'kodesh. Either way, what do you chayiv to bring on that? Tuma mikdash v'kodesh. Yeah. Chumash. You know, I was having a long conversation with Rishachdu this morning. Talking about that, I had some questions about the Chalasa Shabbos. There are some serious errors in here. Some of the things he says are pashut wrong. And one of you brought to me a very serious printing mistake. Too, I assume he made it just a printing mistake, a Talmud Sofer, not that he read it differently. So I was talking to him, and I observed that a number of my students seem to like halacha very much, more so than they do lamnus, which I think is a common phenomenon. And so he made the following answer. I just told him we read it. I said we should have read the Kalkelos Shabbos first. So he said that there, you know, different styles of Magide Shirim. You're smiling, Ozzy.
He was asking how we should read the
Kalkelos Shabbos. Okay, so it's a mistake. The next time, God willing, I teach Shabbos, I'm just go right to it. You know, the first parak of the Rama might be just as well. And so he said that, you know, different Magide Shir. You know, he said the Rav used to start from Aleph Beis. You know, not literally Aleph Beis, but in other words, he used to assume his students knew nothing. It's one of the great challenges of pedagogy, gauging where your students are at. It's a big problem for a lot of teachers. I know I'm guilty of it some of the time. Some of you pointed out, and you do need to point it out more frequently if it's the case, that I assume a certain kind of knowledge which some people don't have. But anyways, he said the Rav used to start assuming his students knew nothing. And he mentioned other Magid Eshir, not necessarily here, who basically, you know, the Hamon Am, you know, couldn't even follow for the first 2 minutes, and the Eluim in the Shir were lost after 10 minutes, you know. And then he said that Yaakov Kamenetsky was known for giving a very simple Shir, and the guys used to complain, why isn't, you know, whatever. So one day he walked in and he said, okay, today I'm going to give a, you know, one day he said, okay, fine, I'll show you guys, I'm going to give a fancy Shir. He gave them the Makoros before washing the Shir, starts saying Kopulim, said nobody understood anything. They all got lost. He said, you see, when I, you know, that's what you want. That's not, he said, that's not called teaching. That's not teaching Torah. And this always actually has been an issue. You know, I will tell you another time, Rashad told me the story when they discussed curriculum reform many, 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 many years ago.
when the students went on strike in Shir. I'm not kidding. You know, those who know Rabbi Maybrook, so his father was the SOI president. He's responsible for the Mishnah Berurah Bechinas. Because the students complained there was no halacha. They went on strike, they refused to go to Shir, and they were learning halacha and chumash. What's that? Yeah, but they're not learning halacha and chumash. Their study center more around Shenas Kefa and Shenas Harai. So the students once wanted the right things. You know, this is not... I shared with the Rav's that letter that was written by the Rav. It wasn't signed by the Rav, but the only... It was written by a Ritz faculty member, and he draws comparisons to the Harvard Divinity School. And the kind of English he uses has Latin phrases sprinkled throughout, so you can figure out who it was. It was a letter written to Dr. Belkin saying how basically the Lithuanian yeshiva curriculum is totally inappropriate here, because these are not the Iluyim who spend Yom V'Layla learning Torah. They need something else. And the Rav was not necessarily... that's why the Rav was the one responsible for this yeshiva doing Moed, Mesechtes. That's why we're doing Shabbos. If it weren't for the Rav's influence, we'd be doing, you know, the big seven Mesechtes, and that would be it. So there is a very basic need to have certain kinds of yedias. Certain kinds of yedias. It's a very serious problem. There's a reason. Why did we? There was a reason I mentioned. Oh yes. So the fact is, really, I should send you all home, and tell you to spend the next half year learning Chumash with Rashi and some Mishnayos, and then you come back and learn. I realize that. Okay. Well, I have a vacation for a while. It's a serious issue. It's not a Dabar Katan. I think one of the most neglected mitzvahs of the Shulchan Aruch, which is one of the most important ones, and I think it's symptomatic of a failure of Talmud Torah and even the revolution of more people learning. Talmud Torah has become a religious endeavor rather than, and not an intellectual one, when it seems to have lost any kind of intellectual focus. I don't mean, when I say intellectual, I don't mean highfalutin, you know, intellectual casuistry. I mean simply knowledge focused. Is that people don't do Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum. So people, you know, so what I'm asking about, Tumas Mikra Vecha Targum, what's the punishment? So, no. And Shaul, you know better than to say that. You read it's an explicit pasuk in Parakeh of Sefer Vayikra. It's the end of the parashas of Vayikra. You bring a carbon all over the yard. There are three. Rav Schechter asks on, he's been known to ask on Kol Bachinas to name the six Hashamas. I don't know how many here would pass. Don't answer the question. And how many you would pass the Bechina. What's that?
Some people recite it every morning.
It's theoretically, you should recite it every morning. You should say Zim Lekomen every morning. Okay, fine. So most people don't. But the bottom line is, just ask Aleph-based questions on the Kol Bechinas. And there are guys who, if not for the fact that they let just about anybody in, you know, in the office, that basically would not be let into the Kol. But just ask Aleph-based questions. What's that? Well, I'm not clear by how much. You know, we used to say that. Well, I'm going to leave it at that. What's that?
All the best guys would get kicked out.
It's embarrassing. It's mamish busha v'cherpa. V'shinanta levanecha shimichudad m'ficha. Someone asks you aleph beis. At least you're supposed to know the answer to the question. So the Torah lists three things that have to bring a carbon all the year. What are they? Tumas mishnas v'chadashav. Two. What's that?
Chela.
No, absolutely not. Chela is, you know, we use the term either chatas chela or chatas kavua. That means when you violate an aver sheish b'karis b'shogeg, you bring a chatas kavua. Carbon all of the yard is brought on three averes. Only one which involves karis, that's tumash mitzvah kadasha, when done intentionally. The other two are shvuas bitui and shvuas ha'idus. Yolendes brings a carbon which is all of the yard. There are sliding scale karbanas for mitzora, ani, mitzora, ashir, but this is not dependent. The sliding scale depends upon ani ashir, but it's a bit, but a carbon chatos, whether you bring a behema ofos, behema of or mincha, so this is the only carbon chatos, which is this is a carbon chatos brought on a chet, but it's sliding scale, as opposed to a chatos chelev, which is called a chatos kavua, because it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, you bring a kispa or a se'ira. Okay, those are your two and only two choices, and it doesn't matter wealthy or poor. So the Rambam says that here Yechayev Chatas Kavua there, so but as opposed to a Chatas Olaviri. Now, why is that relevant to the question there? So the question that you have to ask, going back to the Rishon HaRabim question, is
if you hold like Rabbi Yishmael, Tanachlogus Atanayim, that when you enter the Mikdash, not realizing that it was the Mikdash, Hele Mikdash, but you know that you were Tameh, you just don't realize you've entered the temple precincts, why are you chayev carbon olav yorid on that if that's misasek? What is the definition of misasek? You're not aware of a mitzias. Shogeg is you're not aware of the halacha. I mentioned this also. What's a little strange is if you forget it Shabbos, it's a chiddush that you chayev a chatash. You know why? Because I could argue that's also a lack of awareness of mitzvahs. That's not a lack of awareness of halacha. You know, you could be a baki in Hilchos Shabbos, but if you think it's Sunday, you're going to do malacha. That seems to be more like a misasik, but that's a chiddush by Hilchos Shabbos only. That not knowing it's Shabbos is also called shogeg, not misasik. Okay, but the other kind of shogeg by Shabbos, the standard shogeg is, you don't know the halacha, you don't know that's usher. That's why I pointed out that the standard case of chaylev is shum alafanav, and he doesn't know that one of them is chaylev, and he eats it. I pointed out that that's not a shogeg. What is that? What is that? It's a misasek. So why are you chayev? Because misasek b'chalav marai is chayev shekeinena. The funny thing is that the standard case of shogeg you give is really a misasek. So when it comes to a carbon olav yoreid, hele mikdash, so the question is, why are you chayev? So Rav Eger says in this tshuva, it's the end of that tshuva I mentioned yesterday. It's all part of misasek. Rav Eger says that misasek is only pater by chatas kavua because it's exeris akas of asher chataba. Meaning misasek is pater on Shabbos for two reasons. What are the two reasons misasek is pater on Shabbos? Because A, misasek is pater b'chala tarakula on shoge. It's pater from chatas. B'chala tarakula, because asher chataba, problem is asek, and that's where Rabbi Kiva Eger claims that b'chala tarakula, it's not very, you just don't bring a chatas, it's a pure chatas, and on Shabbos you also pater because melach na Shabbos, right? That's his whole point by Nezikim, when you do nezek on Shabbos, when you're misasek in the melacha, you chayiv to pay because it's not even a ma'aseh avera, because min haTorah, it's nothing, because it's not a melach na Shabbos. If it were the misasek of anything else, even though you wouldn't get any punishment, it would be like Chayvei Misa Shogigin of Tanad Bechiskiya, and you'd say, come over the Rav Aminet. So he says at the end of the Tshuva that Asher Chataba, in fact this is correct, is only by Chatas Kavua. That's in Perek Dalet of Ayikra. So the exemption of Misasik from Karban, it's an Avera, and the exemption from Karban is only by Chatas Kavua, but by Chatas She'ena Kavua, there's no exemption by Misasik. Now, what I can extract from Kiveger, which Rosh Hashanah pointed to me to this tshuva, what I can extract from Rav Eger to the question that I was asked about Rosh Hasharabim, Misasek, not knowing it's Rosh Hasharabim, is that if you're unaware of the mitzias of a being Rosh Hasharabim, which I think has to mean, doesn't mean you don't know the definition of halachically Rosh Hasharabim, that's a halachic shogeg. But let's say I know the laws of Rosh Hasharabim, and I think that the street is not 16 amos wide, and I misjudged. It is 16 amos wide, it is Rosh Hasharabim. Or I thought that this street doesn't go all the way through the city, it's not Mefulash Mishar Al-Shar. And in fact, it does. So I made a mistake in the Metzias. So according to Rav Kibega, that's called Misasek in Yipata. And when are you Chayiv? You're Chayiv when you don't know, when you know that it's us, or you forget that it's Shabbos, or you don't know that it's us that are carrying a Shasarab, even though you know this is Shasarab. Avi? I'm sorry? A kiss, what's a kispa? Ask the question. Everybody know what a kispa is?
Female
kesev. And a seira is a female sa'ir. Okay? So, kisba or si'ira. Okay, if I pronounced it correctly. There are basically five parshios in Perek Dalet of Chatos. There's the Parak Kohen HaMashiach, when the Kohen Gadol makes an error in Psach Halacha, and he's morif himself something that's Chayiv Kareis to be mutter, and he doesn't. There's Par HaLim Davar Shel Tzibur, and it's more famous when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake. And Rova the Tzibur follows them. Then there's the Sa'ir HaNasi, when a Nasi does a regular avera b'shogeg that Yechayev Kareis on when Dan B'meisit, he brings daska a male sa'ir, and then if a yachid does it, there are two parashios, he brings either a kisba or a si'ira. Okay, and then the beginning of Parakeh is karban olav yored. You either bring a keves is a chatas. I don't remember. See, I should know that too. Or if you're too poor for that, you bring a bird, two birds, one for chatas, one for ola. And if you're too poor for that, you bring a mincha schote. Okay, you bring a karban mincha as your chatas. And the Torah mentions three averes: shuas edus, when you swear falsely, knowingly, denying that you know testimony for somebody that could save them money or get the money that they're entitled to. Shvuas Bitoy, which is most kinds of shvuas that you don't fulfill. And Tumas Mikdash V'Kadasha. Okay. So the Rambam says
im osa bishkaga chayev karban chatas kvua, he means as opposed to a chatas olav yored. You will also find the term instead of chatas kvua, as I said before, known as a chatas chelav, because a chelav is just an example of a davar sheish bokares that you bring a chatas kvua on. Okay. So the Rambam says that the mezid yechayev kares or skila with eidim asra, and b'shoge yechayev to bring a chatas kavua. Mishnah Bey, halacha Beis, go ahead, Asi. Fine.
Why? Why does he need to say that twice?
What do you mean?
Like, didn't he just say?
No. Now he's just addressing. He's repeating. Yes, but he's saying that chayv means chayv midaraisa, whatever you chayv, and that is namely skila or kares or. First halacha talks about the din. When you do a malacha, that's a malacha daraisa, so this is your punishment. Now he's telling you that when we use the term chayiv, it means you violated the daraisa and you get one of the punishments daraisa. When he uses it. Now why does... Now read the next halacha and then I'll comment. Next two halachas. Go to Chomakam. Okay, where did the Rambam get this idea from? Why does he say this? Why does he use this nomenclature? Why does he use it? Because he's that's the Mishnah nomenclature according to Shmuel's interpretation, which is accepted. That Kol Peturei D'Shabbos, I believe both the Bava and Yushalmi have similar memoras. Maybe Yushalmi is also from Shmuel. I don't know for sure. That Kol Peturei D'Shabbos Patur Aval Asur except for three. So the Rambam basically followed that nomenclature. He, by the way, does this also in Hilchos Gittin. He writes that whenever he writes Eino Get, it means it's not a get at all in a Torah. When he writes Get Pasul, I don't know if he says this way, that the get may be kashim in a Torah, but it's pasul in the Rabbanon, and therefore it pasul so Nisha Lekoin is a grusha. Eino Get is not even a Reach Get. I don't remember if that's exactly how he formulates it, but the Rambam is a very carefully formulated work. It is one of the rare works I can think of in rabbinic literature where the language was so carefully chosen, at least of those that precede him. I mean, the Bavli, the Mishnah, often have extraneous things. The Rambam, you know, they often have lav dafkas in a way that the Rambam is very, very careful in his formulation. So that's halacha Beis. Halacha Gimel, I'm sorry, Milch, finish halacha Gimel. It's very interesting here. He says, Yechai Makas Mardus, even for Dinam de Rabbanon. It's a very interesting passage in Shulchan Aruch. At some point, you might find it helpful to have a mini Seder when you have a chance to carve out 5-10 minutes here each day to continue on in the Kalkelas HaShabbos, to do all the malachas if you can. You may have trouble. But one of the things, first let me just mention parenthetically, I really meant to tell this to you, two things about nomenclature. Firstly, any abbreviations you have doubts about, the abbreviations are printed in the Mishnah right before the Mishnayos of Shabbos start, after this front material, the abbreviations that are found throughout the Sefer. Two abbreviations I want to bring to your attention. Aleph Beis Yud, which you realize is some type of emendation of Haggah, is Amar Baruch Yitzchak, that's his son. And you see Aleph Beis Yud throughout the Yachna Bas, or in the introduction, in the Kalkel Shabbos, you'll see it there. Two, when you see Kaf Kaf, that may have thrown some of you. For those who didn't ask me, anyone know what that stands for? He uses all over the place Kalkel Shabbos. Kalkel Shabbos. Kimo Kane. Okay? That's what it is. Not Kaf Kosav, which is what it usually is everywhere else I've seen it. Kimo Kane. Third, realize that almost all the time when you get things in parentheses, when the typeface is small, that's some type of parenthetical comment, whoever added in. When you get things in parentheses in the standard size typeface, almost all the time that I've seen, that is actually not a parenthesis. That's really meant to be italics because the word in parentheses is a Yiddish or a German word or some other language. I suspect it's German Yiddish / Yiddish. Because you didn't have italics available, or the printer didn't have italics, so instead of doing that, they put the word in parentheses. But if you don't read the word, your sentence makes no sense. Okay, you may not know what the Yiddish or German word is, but bottom line is, it's part of the sentence. It's different kalim, what different things he's talking about. But be aware of that when you read it. But if you have the chance, take 5 minutes a day to go through it, so, great. There are errors in the Kalkel Shabbos. Now, I'm saying some things he says that are just wrong. I think some of them are obvious. I mean, I went over and asked Rashef the one. He said, yeah, there are a lot of mistakes in it. So he said that there are a couple of commentaries in the back, one of which is written by his son in a nice edition, Shaul showed me, printed on the bottom, called the Ateres Teferis Yaakov, right? I think that's his son's parish. Anybody have the Sefer here? The whole Mishnah? I need the whole Mishnah. It says in the... Somebody should give a class here on Sofrim Lusfarim.
What?
On various works and who wrote them and how they're used. The Misgera Zav was written by his son. What about the Teferis Yaakov? That it doesn't say, okay, so that's not his. But there's a parish in the back with comments, Misgera Zav, which is by the son. Okay. Anyway, I don't know who wrote the Teferis Yaakov, unless those were his emendations. Probably not. Anyway, so one of the things he writes in there is that if you violate even a shvus, a jabbis, even Meshoga, you have to fast 40 days. We'd be in a lot of trouble on that. Now, the Ramah, when you look in Shulchan Aruch, I don't think that's what he says at all. What the Ramah says is that if you violate even a shvus in the process of trying to save your property, and you do something you're not allowed to do, so you have to fast 40 days, or you redeem it with tzedakah. It doesn't mean every time someone does an Aveira B'Shogeg on Shabbos by the Rabbanon, the person is supposed to fast 40 days. But anyway, that's not a black and white error, but there are some other things that are, some are Tov Sofrim, and some of them are, I think, just wrong. But we'll see some of them when we get there. Okay, so anyway, the Rambam here says that if you violate a Shvus the Rabbanon on purpose, you get Malkus Mardus. How much is Malkus Mardus? Different day. Some say 13, some say 39. People like to say that you see Malkus Mardus, violating Dibrei Chacham is worse than violating Dibrei Torah. Because if you violate Malkus Mardus, you violate Naver Malkus Mardus, the Chacham and Amakana Soachitase and Asher, they can beat you endlessly. Whereas when you violate Malkus Doraisa, so you only get 39 Malkus and your Potter. That, of course, is a totally silly statement. Yishtaku Advar Malay Amru, that's an absurd comparison. When do we say Machina Sacha Tetin Avsha? What's that? If you don't want to do a mitzvah. It doesn't matter the mitzvah is the rice of Rabbanan. That's not Machis Marduz, that's the Kfiyah of Beis Din. In a case that a guy doesn't want to pick up Lov and Esro, so or sit in the Sukkah, so you beat him. One makkah, 100 makkahs, as many as it takes to get them in there. That's not a din of onesh. That's a din of kfiya. When a person violates an avera d'rabbanan and he's done, it's finished. No more. He did the avera. He did what he did for whatever reason he did it, but he did it by mezib with asra. You give him makkahs marnis. It's either 13 or 39, but it's not worse than makkahs daraisa. Okay. So anyway, that's what the Rambam says. Halacha dal. What's that? Some say that Malkus Mardus is not, they do it differently. Malkus Doraisa is a pretty painful. It's not a rat and cane like they use in Singapore. Were you guys old enough to remember the caning incident?
Yeah.
I don't remember what year that was, but okay. I think if we did that in the yeshiva for guys who came late to Seder or left early from Seder, I think that the Beis Medrash would be chock full.
Or empty.
I'm going to send Rabbi Khan to join me in a campaign for that. Okay. The XC Chasmus.
Yeah, okay.
What's that? You know, also the practice of giving Malkus on Erev Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, I think Erev Yom Kippur. I noticed that in Shulchan Aruch. I've seen it before. They used to give each other Malkus.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird. There are a lot of strange practices in our religion that I think are no longer practiced today. Okay. Anyway, finally, Halacha Dalar Azi, go ahead. And the latter two formulations are the Rambam's. That I don't think you find in the Mishnah. Enochayev Klum and Patami Klum is not found in the, it's not the Mishnah, it's not Chazal terminology, it's, I think, the Rambam. It's certainly not in the Mishnah, that's for sure. Okay, now, let's go. Dvar Ma Mutarin. Go ahead. Okay. So he quotes the standard case, as long as you don't intend to make a charitz, and therefore, if it did,
So, not a problem. Not a problem. The chayim.
Imagine if you see today we think that this would not be. Let's say he told you you couldn't walk on the grass. Would that be such a big chumrah today? It would definitely be a chumrah, but would it be very difficult? The answer is no, not terribly difficult. But 200 years ago, before everything was paved over, so it would not have been so simple. It might have been just to get out, you know, to the road. You would have to go over grass. But anyway, so you know, choshesh that you okay things, and if you are new, fine.
See, what was an choshesh? Meaning it's after the fact.
So it means because that can happen, you don't have to be choshesh in the first place. Despite the fact that can happen, you don't have to be choshesh in the first place. Go ahead. The rochets. I don't know what afara peros is. Literally, it means fruit dust, but I'm not sure if it was some type of substance that people use to an abrasive to clean their hands from dirt. So you might shear off some hair in the process. Lefikach. But not your problem. V'chein.
V'chein parta dechuka mutar likanes ba b'shabbat apropi she'mishayer
tzura. No, no, no. Mashir. What's the root of mishayer? Shin yud resh probably. Shiur. Probably related to the Hebrew shin aleph resh becomes shin yud resh. Right? Nishar. However, shalo yashir, what's the root of that? Please. So before you go and you learn the Aleph and Mishnayos and Chumash, you first have to learn Biblical Hebrew. Grammar. Okay. What is the root of anybody ever learn here the Perek Mashilin in Beta? No, nobody left over from Beta. Well, not with me. Some have Mashilin, some have Manshilin, some have Mashirin, right? What a Paris Anoshrin? Oh, Mitch. Okay, I'm not going to hold you. Paris Anoshrin, Nun Shin Reish. Lahashir, right? Lahashir Ser is to cause it to slip off, or cause it to detach. Paris Anoshrin, Paris that fall off, that drop. So, Lepikach Nashar Eno Hoshesh. So this is, by the way, Shmuel's Maimer that's quoted in Ksubos, and I think in Nida, that appeared to the Chukah. This might also be a reference to Bia, Bia Rishon or Bia Shnia. Appeared to the Chukah Mudal Ikanis for B'Shabbos, because it's assumed not to be a psikration, right? It's you might, but big deal. Chol v'chein kol davar. Avo.
Okay, now this two hours here. Firstly, the pashtus in the Rambam, without Reb Chaim's lamdas, even though I like it. Pashas in the Rambam is that psikreshi yachayv on nichale alo nichale, it doesn't make a difference, right? You would have expected the Rambam to be nichalek here. If Reb Chaim were correct, and the basis of Tzad Nachash and Machis Morsa were psikreshi alo nichale, the Rambam should have said, Bametva mamurim b'denichale. Pashas is he holds that psikreshi alo nichale is also chayv. In which case, why does he hold what he does by Machis Morsa and Tzad Nachash? The answer is, like the Magid Mishnah, some variety. And then he gives an example. Cutting off the head of a chicken, right? Your intent is not for it to die. It's not. Your goal is not killing the chicken, but maybe it's going to die. Now, some of you asked me, yeah, but that's not a psikreshi. That's a malachashen and tzicha legufa. Right? Because cutting off the head of the chicken is killing the chicken. I asked Rashi this question. He said, he thinks Rashi says on psikreshi. I didn't remember this Rashi, that I didn't look for every Gemara this time. He said that Rashi says that people would also cut it off on the chicken. I doubt this doesn't sound like Rashi, but somebody may have said this. Oh, cut it off on the chicken when it's dead. Meaning cutting off a head of chicken doesn't automatically mean killing it. Because if it's dead, you can also cut off the head of the chicken. Cutting off the head of a chicken always results in the death. When it's alive, in this scenario that it's alive, cutting off its head always causes it to die. But it's not the definition of killing the chicken. Now, of course, I asked them,
it's hard to answer is, well, what is the action of killing a chicken then?
Since grandma talked about a chicken then?
Well, not grandma. It's pikkureisha ita de michale de lo michale.
See, that's silly because shvita, the definition of shvita to kill the chicken is to cut its head off.
Correct. So that's why I don't understand how you argue that it's really two separate actions. Now, by the way, that definition of one action versus two actions, definition we've given yesterday and before and prior to that, that the difference between a malacha shein tzuricha guf and a pikkureisha de lo michale is one A causes B, whereas A is the action for the wrong reason, is once again cited by whoever is cited in the Kesef Mishnah. It's a shame Avram, miyisod harav Avram HaChosid b'shem Avizal. I don't know who he's quoting from and who Avram HaChosid b'shem Avizal is, but who is the Kesef Mishnah, firstly? Rav Yosef Kara wrote three major, three major Svarim that we usually encounter. Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef on the tour, and then the Shulchan Aruch. He also has a Shelus Uchuvas, I believe, called the Avkas Rochel. I don't know what else he might... what's that? Is that, what is that? Is that? You know I'm not going to stack. Okay. I'm kidding, but I said it's four important works. It's also very important, but for other reasons. So the bottom line is that the Kesef Mishnah lives early 16th century. So everybody's quoting is before that, and is quoting Rav Avraham HaChosid b'shem Avin. Who do you think Rav Avraham HaChosid b'shem Avin might be? It's my guess. I don't know if it's true or not. It's sure you can find out. That the distinction between Sikresh, if you look, he writes, it's in the middle of the Kesef Mishnah, if you have like the standard printing, not the Frankel. It's in Halacha Zayin, it's like the middle paragraph. I don't know what Memchaf is. A Hefresh, Sheyesh Bein Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufo, Bein Sikresh, Veloyam Masu, the Gabi Sikresh, Einem Achave in Melacha Kol Ikar, Ela Sheinasis Bechreach. Your Kavan is not for the Melacha, but rather it happens automatically. So I'm reading too much into it. You're not hunting the tzvi. You're closing the door of the house, but maybe the tzvi gets hunted in the process. His intent is for the malacha, but for a different agenda. Okay, so what this means, so Rav Schechter said basically though, and this may be true, although you have to flesh this out, is that sometimes kavana causes something to be considered two separate actions. Or I should say, something which might be considered two separate actions, kavana can convert into one action. That's how he wants to deal with the shechita problem. I said, Rebbe, you know, when is it that, if you say that killing off a chicken's head is not killing it by definition, but it automatically leads to its death if it's alive, if you argue it's two separate actions, so what is the definition of killing a chicken? Where is the malacha where you miskavim the malacha, but if you do it for the wrong reason, it's ain't tzricha legufa. So he said, no, if you kill it because you want the chicken dead, you're interested in the chicken being dead, you want its parts. I said, but that, again, you're just cutting off its head, memele dies, now it's a psikresha denichale. So he said, so his suggestion is, and you may have to say this, is sometimes kavana dictates that two actions merge into one. And the kavana for wanting the chicken dead means that cutting off its head is the definition of killing it. If you don't want the chicken dead, you're not interested in it, or that is certainly not the, that's not your primary purpose, so then already you're just cutting off its head, you would have done it whether the chicken was alive or dead. Memele, the chicken dies. The male of chicken dies, so that's a psikresha.
If you could cut off the chicken's head without killing it, you would do it. Then.
Correct. Right, the problem is that if I... that's a dangerous line. Because if I want the dirt... What's that?
If you could get the dirt without digging
a ditch. Correct. If you could get the dirt without digging a ditch, you would do it. You would choose that as well. Right?
Okay,
so why is that... I'm sorry?
So that, I mean...
It's... Schechter may be correct, but it requires some refinement. Okay. What? The problem is that there are so many people earlier who draw this distinction, so you have to sort of grapple. Yeah, the problem is that when the classic case is the exception, it's a problem.
Or it might just be it can't be conceptualized.
Ouch. My student has been with me too long. Yeah, okay. But the Rishonim are conceptualizing is the point. Okay. All right. I don't know the answer, but it's certainly Tzarach Iyun Harbe. Tzarach Iyun, that's an obvious question.
Is it answer to cut off the dead chicken's head?
Pashtus, no.
And is it answer to poison a chicken on Shabbos?
The answer is, it depends if you ask. You know, they just closed the ASPCA chapter, and Jason Williams shot it.
ASPCA.
bizarre. I have to tell you, last week's parasha, I said this before, I think if I could add a 14th to the Ikrei Emuna, it would be B'tzelem Kim Asas Adam, and animals have no rights. We need to be not cruel to animals because it's bad for humanity, and there's no reason for us to needlessly cause suffering to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But in terms of a hierarchy of values of society, there is no such thing as animal rights. Okay, I would make that the 14th Ikrei Emuna. 100 years ago, it was only for the Meshugayim on the fringes, the Meshugayim, that you needed to make such a statement. But you can see that even the, however many years, 3,500 years after the Torah was given, all of a sudden, Nasadam B'Talmeid K'nesenu takes on a tremendous meaning again. You know, in the ancient Near East, the goal was to distinguish humanity from the rest of the creation with respect to the gods, putting God, a man, at the center of the created universe, not simply as an appendage to serve the needs of the gods. In the modern day and age, you need to put man in the center of the universe in this contradistinction to the nafshos habehema, which inhabit the earth. So are you allowed to poison a chicken, aside from the question of Tzar Balei Chaim, which again may be a consideration for us, not for the chicken? On Shabbos, as a melacha, lechora, it's only a gram misa. It's not actually killing a chicken. If you were to inject, for example, if you put a person in a pen with a snake, you're not chayiv misas based on aretzicha. If you take the snake and you stick its teeth into the person, then that would be considered Ritzicha B'Yadayim, and your Chayiv Misa for that. I assume, now by analogy to Shabbos, if you take the poison and you inject it into the chicken without causing a Chabura, or you force it down its mouth, so that might constitute a Netilas Neshama on Shabbos. It also depends what exactly that Malacha is. If you put it out there and the chicken eats it, at worst it's a Grama. Okay?
No,
still a Grama. Still a Grama. So that raises the question, what if you can get to the desired result without, but that, whatever, that's not applicable here and I don't want to go into it. Fine. Halacha Vav. Okay. So we read Halacha Vav, that's Psik Resha. Then Halacha Zayin. What's that? Hareshe Kiba Esaner. Yeah. I have trouble with this. The problem is, I'll tell you as follows. Yeah, Pashas is because it's. Here's the problem. In biblical Hebrew, I wish I had somebody with a computer here. See, lo tichbe, pashtus doesn't mean don't extinguish it. It means don't. It should not become extinguished. Is there somebody with a Bar Ilan?
No.
What's that? What's that? Lo? No, what I'm telling you is I think that it's a stative verb. Maybe I'm wrong, but it would be like the se'arav. In the art school, mistakenly prints the se'arav. It's wrong. The orva, which is a simple kal, means to be sweet. Okay, you don't have to say a se'arav. Okay, which is a nifal, which is a way of passive, making a passive verb, because the binyan kal is already a passive verb. So I always thought lo sechbeh, va'ish ala mezbeach tukad bo, and tukad is a passive, no. I always thought that was passive. And then Uvier Aloha Hakoinesim Rabbah. Okay. So I thought the Tichbe is passive and Kiba. But that's why I need a concordance to know. I had this discussion with Dr. Bernstein recently. Because later on, Tichbe, we say Tichbe also. I don't know if it's a kal or a peel. So I don't know. Kava, yeah, I think Kava means to go out, to be extinguished. Kiba means to extinguish something else. I think, but I don't know. I think so. Anybody with a sense? I don't know. Okay, go ahead. Either way, I would read it as kiba. Okay? So, Nesha, kiba, even kiboy. Kiboy is a PL form of a noun. It's a nominative of a PL. Like, bibor is Lashon PL. Kiboy. Malacha, bare. Of course, it's mechab and mavir. You can't get a mem on front of a binyan kal. It's kiba. Okay. Vare niskaven. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the definition? What is the definition of tzarach legufa by kiboy? When is it tzarach legufa? That's what I thought, right? What does the Kalkel Shabbos say? David? You want it to be dark. That's a toast. That's wrong. Not true. That's what I asked Rosh Hashanah about. Also, we have a funny look. What are you talking about? That's not true. That's saying that Tzricha Legufa. Tzricha Legufa means you need a Pecham. That's exactly where Rabbi Yosei... The first is sold. We know that you need a Pecham. That's also called Tzricha Legufa. But Rabbi Yosei is... Rabbi Yosei Poter Bechulam Chutz Ben Apsila Mneishu Ose Pecham. And I assume the first case in the Mishnah, Mechabim Esaner Mipnei Hachola Sheyishan Mipnei Hayashen, all those cases are melachashen tzricha legufa. It's an according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only mutter by a chole sheish bo sakana, because melachashen tzricha legufa otherwise is chayim. Okay. Anyway, the Rambam doesn't spell it out though. He gives you examples of ein tzricha legufa, namely you want the shemen, you want to save the shemen, you want to save the cheres. Michael, if you need the pachamim, you need the charcoal.
I mean, this is
talking
about like a little candle, a little oil.
Yeah, there's charcoal there. Even to make it, to relight it, it's easier to relight it a second time. I don't know, I'm married, Eddie. My wife has me not do it anymore. She prefers it not with these candles. But for a long time, when I prepare the candles, what does the father do? He lights and puts out. Why does he do that?
So they're easy to light with.
They're easy to light with.
So you're not putting out this candle so that you can light it later.
It's
easier. You're putting
out the candle because you want to go to sleep.
That's why it's ain't Tzricha Legufa.
It's exactly my point.
No,
in Tzricha, so how do we define Tzricha? Important question. How do you define Tzricha Legufa? The Rambam says, he just says, Hapi Shein Tzricha Legufa Shem Malacha. So, you know, Taka, so, so what defines Gufa Shem Malacha? No, Aaron said it. Unless the Rambam, you know, it's possible. I'm just thinking about it now with you, because your question, the Rambam doesn't hold that way. Other Rishonim certainly do. And standardly, the way I think we work in Pesach Halach is that assumption. Tzricha Legufa is defined as it was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, I'll give you a raya. Well, it's Rashi says it explicitly. Maybe it's the Gemara that in the Mishkan they never needed to lower the flame as to not burn something. You know why? Because they were always very careful. There was reason. They never raised the flame any higher than they had to. A stam hedyot, you're cooking on your stove. Sometimes you make the flame too high, you got to lower it. They never did that in the Mishkan. They were always very careful. So you see from that, again, if it's Rashi says it, the Gemara says it, that kibui stam just to extinguish, not kechasana, because you want the fire not there, is not called, that's not what they did in the Mishkan for. That's not called tzricha legufa. Kibui was for pechamim. Because they needed charcoal to work with the metal, so they need charcoal. If you need, probably not because you need to relight the fire. But so kiboy, the way it's usually understood, and I don't know if the Rambam disagrees. Maybe he would agree with the Kalkel Shabbos. Kiboy is done because you want the psila. You want the, and that's why Rabbi Yosei says is moded by kechasal psila. Okay, but I'm glad you made that comment. We'll have to see whether or not the Rambam really differs. Continue. Mechena mavir. It could fit even with this. So it's points b'harchak hezek. So it could be that kiboy also for the Rambam, that the primary purpose of malachas kiboy, the tzricha legufa, is the pechamim, and if you're trying simply to get rid of the light, that's l'harchak is a hezek me'alaf. Okay. So we've seen so far Davar Shein Miskaven, we've seen Sikreishi with no explicit distinction between Ichalei and Ichalei. Now we see Melach Hashem and Tzricha Legufa, of which there obviously is a Machlokes. Other Rishonim disagree. Then, Halacha Ches.
Okay.
What do we call this? It's an asase. I'm escaving to do one malacha and a different malacha happens, so I'm pata. Because no nasis mashata, it's not a malacha smashava. So you can tell his kate. Zarek Evan. Okay, so the point is that if I intend to do a malacha and a different malacha happens, then I'm chayav. Certainly it's true, and they're both malachas daraisa. Certainly it's true if I intend to do a malacha derabanan and something slips. I want to throw the ball in the caramelist, and you know what happens? As I'm letting go, I lose control, it slips out of my hands, and it goes flying, so it's just harapim. So I'm patur. It's a kal v'chomer. So that's misasik number one. Yes, Ozzy? Question? Okay, misasik number two. Well, next case. Tess? Notice the strange thing, lilkot and likate. It should be lilakate, whatever. Or velakat, whatever. It means a calculated action which was calculated correctly. Okay, but be very careful in the Rambam. The Rambam's dafka, if he intended to do malacha to be locate to Einim and then locate a different and he collected a different species, a different kind of Taina. Okay, and that's going to be important for the Rambam. How are you the fun of? Next case. So if he has two malachas, which are the equivalent, it's the same malacha, two different objects, he intends to do one but does the other, that's like trying to collect a white tain. This white tain, you get a different white tain, which is just as good. The Rama writes you chayiv. That's a chiddush. The pashtus of the sugya, the hasaga of the Rabbi, by the way, if you look what he says, and now I understand finally, I notice that the Kesef Mishnah here just quotes the Hasaga Sarayvi, period. He doesn't even explain, doesn't respond to the Rabbi's attack. It's interesting, I didn't realize, I was looking at this morning, that's in the Frankel Rambam, where the entire Hasaga Sarayvi is printed. Here, however, the Hasaga Sarayvi is truncated, he tells you to look in the Kesef Mishnah for the rest of it. It's a pella. If you learn the Sugya there, it seems problematic. The Sugya there seems to assume that even if I'm escaping Lalaki Tain Azo and I was located, I was Malaki Tain Acheris, then I'm Potter. That's called Masasi, because I didn't. Postures is like the Raivit. The Raivit in the look in the Kesef Mishnah, when you have a chance, he quotes the whole Hasagas Raivit, and there the Raivit cites the Gemara and does a little bit of the explaining. Halacha Yidalis. Aval. If you do two malachas in the wrong order, so that's also your pater. And the last line is the most significant one, which is v'chala osa malacha b'misasek v'lo neskapein l'pata. That's sort of the case, so I think, leaning against the wall and you turn the light on. There you have no intent of doing any. All these cases preceding, you intended to do action A and you do action B. You notice he does not label those as what? He doesn't label them as misasek. He reserves the term misasek for the last case, which is sort of the most obvious misasek of all of them, right? You have mamish no kavana. Mamish no kavana. But why? The Gemara uses that terminology already by even the lakit shchoros velikit levanos, the lakit tein azo velikit tein acheres. The Gemara already is asher chataba prat lemisasek. Right, so, Michael?
So, if that distinction misasek is all in terminology, would you still say that
Yeah, yeah, it's a terminological distinction. Haracha Yedeis. So despite the fact that if you wanted to carry it out behind you and that was your intent, you'd be chayav on Shabbos, but if your intent was to do a better form and you failed to do that, so then we say that you're potter. That's what category does this fall under? I assume it's a kind of misasik. It's a kind of misasik. Halacha Yud Gimel. Even if you put the put a screwdriver through through a thing and through your belt on the side and it works its way around magically, we don't say that even if one's a better shemir than the other, we don't say that you put it because everybody knows when you put it there, that's what happens. In other words, when you put something in front of you, it doesn't usually wind up behind you. If it happened, it's sort of against your will. But when you put something that you know is choser, that it circles around. If you wear a watch, my experience has been, depends how wide the band is, but at least I have a certain watch that as I run, and my hand is thin enough, it starts to turn around slowly in my hand and winds up here, and it keeps, I don't know, it must be something to do with the hitting of the ground in the angular direction, but it keeps rotating around my hand. So there's some things, it's dark alias choser. So if I know I'm running and I carry, watch is a tashit, but let's say I would carry out that way, so I know when I'm running that that's what happens to it. So I can't tina, well then I walked out and it was in the wrong position. I carried the watch out like this, we wouldn't say that that would be like a sinner. That would be like something that's a dark alias choser. Okay. Fine. Halacha Yedalad. Yeah. We don't say that you, if you're writing on Shabbos, you have to finish your magnum opus in order to be chayav. We say you write two otzios, you're chayav. So he says, Ketzer Arei. Now, how do you distinguish this one which came before? If I didn't set out what I aimed to do, so why am I chayav? Okay, so the point is in the other cases of misasek, you look at the malacha I did, and the malacha I did, in which I'm chayiv, the manner in which I did it wasn't the way I intended, and I did it in an inferior fashion. Here, writing two osios is enough to be malacha of kosev. The fact that I want to write more and more and more osios doesn't mean that that's called my kavana in terms of the malacha. My kavana, when I wrote, when you want to look at whether or not I accomplished what I said I have to do, look at the first two letters that I wrote. If I wrote them in the way that I wanted to write them, then I'm chayav on that. It doesn't matter the fact that I don't finish the rest of the work.
What's the dead language?
What's that? So, I thought
you write in
Ksav Ivri,
so
what
do you write?
What's Ksav Ivri is a dead language.
People speak in the
Ksav Ivri is not a question of a spoken language. It's a script.
Right, but it's a script.
Do people speak in Rashi script Hebrew? That's what you just asked.
No,
right?
People do. People
what?
Read it and read off it. It's a commonly fine.
Rashi, I'm sure, spoke a very fine French. Okay, he did not speak. He did not speak Friddish. Okay. Well, it's called Yinglish.
Fine.
It's neither proper Yiddish, neither proper English. What did someone say to me? You know, in the Yeshiva Shevelt, they speak three languages poorly.
Fine, a forgotten script.
That's a forgotten script. I don't know. Because it could be a chayiv, even maybe a malach of Roshim. I don't know exactly what Roshim is, but...
That would also be like Sanskrit. Could be anything.
I don't know anything about Sanskrit.
Right. So let's say you like, you know...
So I can't answer any questions.
In the sand, you know, what you're writing. If you, or if like something... If it's made up of lines and dashes or Morse code.
I don't know.
Make sure two dots or two letters.
Really? In Hebrew, two dots? Okay. Anyway. Halacha Tesvav. A lot of Canadians here. Halacha Tesvav. Okay. So this is the din of Shnaim Shasa Uha. So there's a three-way machlokus in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon is the most extreme makel. He claims that when two people do malacha, they are always potter unless one is capable of doing it really on his own, one is not capable, and the one who's not capable becomes a misayeah, basically, and he is chayv nothing, and the one who is capable of doing it all on his own, when the other guy really wasn't capable, so he is chayv for the entire malacha. But Rabbi Shimon says, neither could do it on their own. You need two people to do it, and two people did it. Rabbi Shimon says you're still potter. It has to be echad shasa v'lo shnayim shasa uha. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says now. Rabbi Yehuda says that shnayim shasua, if each one could do it on his or her own, then they're potter. But if you needed both of them in order to be able to do it, neither could do it on his or her own, by himself or by herself. So then then they're chayiv when they do it for shutfas. And Rabbi Meir says that even in a case where neither could, where both could do it on their own, and they did it together, I believe Rabbi Meir says they're chayiv as well. One of them is chayiv. I don't remember how he works it out. So the bottom line is that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that shnayim shasua depends upon whether or not each could have done it on their own, or whether neither could do it on their own. If neither could do it on their own, so we pass in that they're both chayiv.
What does that mean?
Physically capable,
like,
yeah.
So if you have like a bank safe where you need two keys, you know, to be turned the same time, something like that. In that case.
And you can't do it because it's like 5 feet apart, you can't reach.
Or
if opening the lock were a malacha, then that indeed would be chayav according to the both, yeah. Okay. Fine. Mishnah says, halacha tezayin. Here's the flip side, actually. Yeah, I said it already. Kagam. The point is that the one who can do it on his own is the one who's really considered doing it. The one who can't do it on his own is functionally just a messiah. I mean, he might be carrying some of the load, but he can't do the whole thing himself. The other guy can, and therefore the other guy is high. This is the case where even Rabbi Shimon is moda, the yachol is chayiv. That's the expression. Zeh yachol v'zeh yachol, zeh eino yachol v'zeh eino yachol, zeh yachol v'zeh eino yachol. Okay.
And it's different than in the case where they need both of them?
Correct, because here you don't need both of them.
Right, I'm saying, like, they're also, each one's helping the other.
Yeah, but in that case, each one is necessary. So they're actors as opposed to peripheral figures, as opposed to messiahs. Okay, go ahead. Halacha Yitzayim. Okay. Now the Rambam, by the way, you should be aware, has a funny shita. What happens if I punch you because I don't like you? What's the din? So that's chovel. Is that makalka, you potter?
You just wanted to feel pain, but you don't want to get caught and make you bleed?
No, I'm happy to make you bleed. I don't need the blood. I'm not interested in the blood. But I smash you to the ground.
But that's not kilkel.
You say kilkel to human beings.
It's not kilkel because if you break.
Of course it's kilkel.
Yeah, because if you're angry.
So the Rambam writes, the Rambam writes that Yechayev, it's not called makalka because he's osanachas ruach liyitzra. Seems to run against the Maskana Sagamara and Shabbos Kuvav and Beis, but we might eventually get to see that Rambam. Okay, anyway, the Rambam continues the last halacha. One second, sorry, hold on. Azi, hold on.
Isn't it strange that he uses what seems to be the classic example of Mach Chain Shekel Gupa? clarifies this. No, why not? Because how does she paskin? I thought about this a moment ago. I forgot. Yeah, so that's why for the Rambam, it's just natural. It doesn't make a difference whether it's tzricha l'gufa and tzricha l'gufa not. The only thing you could, and you might argue, well, yeah, I'll leave it at that. Okay. Yes.
The malacha in the Mishkan of Kabura was because he wanted the apples dead, or because he wanted the skin away.
Well, in the case of.
I wanted to be constructive, not choker.
What was the case of Kabura? I don't know.
They wanted the skin.
What's that? Yeah, but that's. You think what that. Rabbi Shimon. Well, no. I don't know. I don't know why. So the reason why Mekalkel is Chayev. I don't know why he quotes the case of Melchizedek Sukufa. The reason why Mekalkel is Chayev by those Malachos. I'm sorry. They were Pater. According to Rabbi Shimon, Melchizedek Sukufa is Pater. So he argues that Yechayev on him Mekalkel of Havara and Chovel. Why? Because every havara and chovo, by definition, with respect to gufa, is destructive. Anyway, put that aside. Put that aside. Halacha yitas, go ahead, call. Okay. Finally, okay. So here's a very interesting halacha, which goes as follows. Let's say Castor is standing there, and I'm really irritated at him. I'm ready to wallop him. So I take my recorder and I throw it. And then I'm going to give him a nice deep bruise on the thigh. And then I say, oi, it's Shabbos, how can I be chovel on him? And now it hits him. So obviously, you know, you lo kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas Basar Adam. So Basar Adam is Zorei Chitzav and Yachal Asir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zorei Chitzav and Yachal Asir. Midas sends his arrows. Right, anyone know where that's from? Rashi and Hazinu quotes that from the Medrash. Right, that Kadosh Baruch Hu can pull back his arrows, unlike Basar Vadam. So I shoot the arrow, and then I realize, oops. So what's it then? The answer is I'm pata from Chatas. Well, and then even if I think we pass, even if I forget again, I said Oy Vei Shabbos, I'm going to be Chovah B'Shabbos. That I'm Chovah B'Kasher, I don't care, but I'm Chovah B'Shabbos. That concerns me. So. So the Psach Halacha, the Mishnah says, the last Mishnah, the 11th parak of Shabbos, parak Hazorei, says that you potter until you shargam yitchil yatzof in order to be chayav a karbon. Okay. Fine. So these are the basic ground rules the Rambam lays out of all of Hilchos Shabbos. You have, firstly, skila kareis chatas. Then you have malach shein, then you have davar shein miskavein. You have psik reisha. You have a bunch of malach, you have malach shein tzichu gufa. You have a bunch of misasiks. Then you have Shir or Malacha. Then you have Shnayim Shasa Uha, when you chayach, when you pater, and Zeyachol v'Zeinu Yachol. Then you have the din of Mekalka being pater, and finally you have the din, in order to be chayach achatas, you have to chayach anything, you have to be in that state, Mitchila v'yad sof of the Malacha. Obviously it only applies to Malachos that have a time duration, Malachos that are quantum, that you go from not having done the malacha to having done the malacha in an instant, you pass it on. Avi? Which malacha is that? It's a three-way machlokas atanayim. Are we showing them? Some say it's part of a shochet, netilas neshama. Mali katla kula, mali katla palga.
Wait, where's shochet?
It's in the list. Yes, it's one of the first in the malachas of the olos, after the malachas of the woven stuff. So some say Mali Katla Kula, Mali Katla Paga. What's the difference? Whether you kill the person completely or you kill him partially. The Rambam, I think, says somewhere because of Tzofeya. And there's a third sheet that says, maybe Tosa somewhere quotes that Nefarik. that like squeezing the grapes out of juice out of the grapes, you're getting the blood out of the person. Mafari told it the dash. Okay. Fine. So these are the basic ram rules that apply throughout Hilchos Shabbos. You should know these well. Shamrein b'selchav avecha, because they theoretically come up over and over and over again. Any questions? Well, tomorrow, I don't know if we're going to do halacha tomorrow. If not, tomorrow we'll certainly resume Sunday. Or maybe we'll do the Kalkalis Shabbos tomorrow. So we're really solidly grounded. I'm leaning towards the latter. Sunday we'll resume halacha. And this way, we should be firmly grounded. Monday we can start the Mishnah of the Lamed Tes Malachas. Eitan?